Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this night in the name of thy begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I do thank you for getting us all here safely, Lord. I thank you for all these guys, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your gospel and to show your marvelous works, Lord, before men. Heavenly Father, you know men, you know me, Lord. I'm a base man, Lord. But I want to see men saved, Lord. I want to see your righteousness and your name exalted, Father. Father, I ask that you would give me grace, Lord. And that you would give these boys and men grace, Lord, to hear your word, to hear your gospel. I pray, Father in heaven, that you would come and do mighty exploits tonight, Lord. Quicken your word like only you can, Father. Please be with me, Lord, for your name, Lord God, that you could be glorified, that your word would be spoken as it ought to be spoken, Lord. Father, may you protect us from Satan under the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep Satan from us, Lord. Keep us from distractions in the name of Jesus Christ. Please do encamp round about us with holy angels, Lord God. Be glorified here tonight, Lord. Let thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We praise you, Lord. We pray this would all be in your name, Lord, and pleasing in your eyes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, I wrote down a little title. I just came up with about 10 minutes ago. But the title of my sermon tonight, and I guess I better start, why do we preach the gospel? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God." And it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "After that, in the wisdom of God, in God's infinite wisdom, the world by wisdom, or the wisdom of men, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe." That's why we preach. It says in Romans 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how people get saved, is when the word's preached. And God quickens that word, and you know you're not hearing from a man, but you're hearing from God through a man. Because in His sovereignty, He uses men as His medium. I don't know why He does it, but He does it. And He called me to preach, and so I'm coming here to preach to you guys. So I hope that y'all will listen. Because if you're not saved, this is how God saves people. It's through the foolishness of preaching, though it may seem foolish. My title tonight for this sermon is "Which Gospel, Which Jesus, and Which Way?" And before I start, I want to talk about my incentive. And I want to talk about my style. And I want to talk a little bit about who I am, a short version. So starting with who am I? My name's Ryan Ringnault. I'm 24 years old. Travel with these guys on an RV around the country. And the Lord said in Matthew 16:24, and He meant it, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross." The cross is a death to the world, your sins, your dreams, your hopes, "and follow me. For he that wishes to save his life," and we all do, "but by the grace of God, shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it." I've staked everything in my life on this message, on this gospel, because I believe it. Paul says, "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we have, I have believed, therefore spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." And so we do as well. Travel around the country. I was just like you guys. I was born in the world. I looked like the world. I lived like the world. I lived in sin. All men are born in sin. Some are more religious than others. But the problem with men is men. It's the flesh of man. Scripture says that all men are wicked and depraved. Above all things, they're desperately wicked. They drink iniquity like water. The good and the bad. The Lord doesn't want any of it. Where He wants us to go, to that cross. I'm going to try to tell you about the cross. He wants all of the good things and the bad things about men. So a lot of times, wicked men are better off than good men, in relatively speaking, toward other men. Because they can see the sickness. And when you see the sickness, you're about ready for the cure. But if you don't think you're sick, you're never going to seek the cure the way you must to be saved. So we travel around preaching. I was in the world for 20 years. I could go into all the sins I was in, but I loved the world just like everyone loves the world when they're born. And then the Lord started to move. And when He started to move, He started to break me down. And He started to take me low. And I started getting caught and busted in my sin again and again, like that woman caught in adultery. She was busted. She knew by the law she deserved to die. And when you know that, that's about when you're ready to be saved. to call upon the name of the Lord and He'll save you. But we naturally don't. We hide. We don't want to lose our lives. We want to think, plead to any kind of hope that we're going to heaven, though it be a false hope. Any kind of fig leaves we can cover ourselves with, we'll do that. And I did that for 20 years of my life, and I was religious. Just to go into detail about that, I was so most religious guy in my family. I went to Guatemala on a mission trip, sharing the gospel in Spanish, at least what I knew of it, a language I don't even speak. And it was wonderful, but I wasn't saved. I believed that Jesus was the only way to heaven. Perfect atonement is what you needed to get to a perfect heaven. I believed in my mind that I was a sinner, but that's where it stayed, was in my mind. It never did hit my heart. And it's got to be a heart change.
Right.
And so when we preach, the Word's got to come in spirit and in power. Only the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, can do this work where you hate what you love and love what you hate from the heart and not just in your mind. And man, it was a long road for the Lord to do that. It took years of breaking me where I wouldn't justify myself anymore, where I came to my end. And when you come to your end, that's where Christ can begin.
Right.
And so pray. If you haven't come to your end, I hope that the Lord will bring you there tonight. I hope that I'll strip away any kind of feelings in love for you. In love, the Lord let bad things happen. In love, the Lord let Lazarus die. And he was in the grave for 4 days. And it says, behold, he's stinking. The Lord could have come way before that. But because he loved him, he stayed 2 more days where he was and let him die. Because only when you die can you live, biblically. And I like this spiritually speaking. And we don't want to die. We don't want to lose our life. My incentive, that's who I am. I'm from Texas. That helps. But I could share my testimony with you guys maybe some other time. My incentive in preaching, I have only one incentive. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see Him glorified, and He's glorified through His gospel. And I want to see men saved. That's it. That's my Lord. I want to see you guys in heaven. So that's why I preach, and I'm going to preach, hopefully pretty intense, because I think it's an intense message, and it deserves to be preached that way. Again, I staked all my life on this. Apostle Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I can say the same thing. Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, I am a debtor to all men, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise, to all men. He felt to be a debtor by this message. He says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. And I'm not either. That's how you get saved. So that's what I want to tell you about the gospel tonight. That's my incentive. And my style, I believe open rebuke is better than secret love. That's a proverb. Proverbs, I believe, 27:5. And then it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I just want to tell you the truth. I believe the Lord loves a straight shooter. Even unsaved men in this fallen world, mostly like a straight shooter.
Right.
And that's a marred image of God in an unsaved man. Think about how much more the Lord likes a straight shooter. Just tell me like it is, you know. Man to man, that's what I want to tell y'all. The requirements of a holy God tonight. And that's my style. All right. So what is the gospel? Which gospel is my first point? And I already quoted Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to those that believe. But which gospel? Y'all have heard probably we're fallen. Y'all probably heard that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He was a perfect atonement, lived a perfect life and word, thought, and deed. He suffered the wrath of God that God might be just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. That's why He died. It was His love and it was His justice because someone had to die. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die. When you shed a man's blood, their blood is required for that sin. And we are all guilty of blood shed, whether spiritually or physically. We're guilty of Him on that cross. He was there taking our sins, the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'll talk a little about the gospel, but which gospel? Why is that important? Because it is the power of God and the salvation, but only one gospel is. It's got to be the right one. And I want to explain a little bit about the false gospel that's going around this country and even around this world and the true gospel. Why? Because it's only one gospel that saves. And that's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that. Here's the false gospel. The false gospel says, be a good person. Clean up the outside a little bit. Go to church on Sunday and live like a devil the rest of the week. That's the false gospel. Patch up the flesh of man. That's the false gospel. The true gospel says, if you live after the flesh, whether good or bad, the good things about you, the bad things about you, the culturally acceptable and unacceptable sins in your life, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye by the Spirit do mortify, kill, destroy, vanquish the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Lord doesn't want any part of us. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again, or you can't even see the kingdom of God. We're born in flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. A preacher in the 1700s, John Wesley, they'd ask him a question. Why do you always preach you must be born again? And John Wesley said, because ye must be born again. Or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Because it is not like this world. It's a holy place with a holy God, with holy angels that love righteousness and holiness and truth. And we don't love those things. Do you love those things? On your own, from your heart. Do you love to do what's right? Do you love to go and be persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you rejoice in sufferings from your heart? Can you praise God when the whole world hates you and turns their back on you? That's what's required to go to heaven. That's the salvation of the Lord, whom having not seen, we love, Peter says. And though we see Him not, we rejoice with a joy that is unspeakable and filled with glory. Can you say that? A man in the 1700s, Charles Wesley, hymn writer, said, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Can you say that?
Amen.
That's the salvation of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 21:15, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Is it joy to you to do what's right in God's eyes? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you love to seek God? Have you tasted and seen that He's good and nothing else will satisfy? Everything else in this world is like dirt compared to a wedding cake? Can you say that from the heart, not just outwardly? I'm talking about the salvation of the Lord. It's a heart change. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, David said in Psalm 44, I believe, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Thy law is in my heart. Do you delight to do His will?
Amen.
Because it's a heart salvation that's required to go to heaven. Because heaven is a spiritual kingdom. It's not like this world. And if you clean up the outside and go to heaven with the holy God and people that love holiness and the things that this world, that the flesh of man doesn't love, you wouldn't want to be there. Here's the problem. No one wants to go to the other place. And the Scripture doesn't leave a third option. It's heaven or it's hell. That's how it is, man. And the only one that can get you to heaven and actually enjoy heaven is the Lord. And the only message that can do that is the gospel, the true gospel. This is how much Apostle Paul hated the gospel. The false gospel. It says in Galatians 1 to the Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the gospel of Christ or the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, Paul says, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. That's strong language. Accursed means eternally damned. Because only one gospel saves. And they're in there preaching the gospel that's so close that it's usurping the authority of the Apostle Paul, who probably planted that church. And they're turning to these false apostles. And Paul, in love for man, is trying to bring them back to the true gospel. Because if they embrace it, if you embrace a false gospel, you will perish.
Right.
Because one gospel saves. The good news of Jesus Christ. That's what that term means, good news. The deliverance of Jesus Christ from sin, slavery. And Scripture says, if you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. Jesus said that. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. That's the gospel. The gospel will save you from sin, which in consummation, sin is rebellion to God. He'll save you from rebellion, where you want to do what's right from the heart, where you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, doing what's right in His eyes from your heart, and it's your joy. And you don't care what anyone thinks. You don't care what the world says. That's intense. That's only something that your Creator can do through the true gospel. So make sure you got the true gospel. It is all-consuming. God doesn't want a box of you, of your life, or a room. He wants you. He wants the whole thing.
Yeah.
Romans 12, 1 through 2. Y'all have heard of Romans. Through Romans 1 through 11, Paul is talking about the great doctrines of the faith, the gospel. And it's summed up, I believe, in these two verses. In light of all these truths, justification by faith, and all the other truths, this is what Paul says to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. That's intense, man. And that's impossible unless God does such a work in you that you can actually do it. That is the requirement of God. God requires you, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're in the world, whether you hate God or not, to love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Wow.
But can you do that? You cannot do that unless God does a miracle in you. And I'm telling you, if you don't get desperate with the Lord, if you don't get real with Him, He will not do it because He's holy and God resists the proud. And He giveth grace to the humble. And we're not naturally humble.
Right.
We're not naturally broken. We don't want to be real with the Lord. We don't want to be real with ourselves. But I'm telling you, you must be. That's which gospel? I want to talk now about which Jesus. One Jesus saves, again. There's only one. There is a false Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 11:4. There's another Jesus. There's another Jesus in Christianity today. And the only way you know which one is of Jesus, a prophet is of God, or a church is of God, or which Jesus it is by the fruits. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruits. Then he says a couple verses down, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The only way you know is the fruits. The Jesus that you love, the Jesus that you embrace, that you've heard of in church, what's the fruit in your life? Are you living in willful sin against God? Are you living in lawlessness? Are you doing what He hates from your heart? Or are you seeking holiness? Are you loving the Word of God? Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are certain fruits of the true Jesus. The only way you know is by the fruits, because there's an angel, or Satan, that masquerades as an angel of light. He comes as a good guy. False prophets look like sheep, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. The only way you know is by their fruits. It's like a tree. An apple tree will bear apple fruits. That's it. If it's bearing thistles, it's not an apple tree. If you've embraced the true gospel, it will tend toward holiness. It will tend toward godliness. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The true gospel will make you holy. That means separate, sanctified, not like the world. A peculiar person, zealous for good works, and we're not naturally like that. Right? But that's what's required, guys. That's the only kind of person that's going to make it to heaven.
Amen.
You cannot play the fool with the Lord. That's which Jesus, in Exodus chapter 34, I believe, Moses had asked him in the chapter before, show me your glory. You might have heard this. And then he says in Exodus 34, he's proclaiming the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, the name of the Lord is not just a physical address. It's not just a physical name. It is equated, or it goes hand in hand with His person. And so he's proclaiming the name of the Lord. And he says, the Lord God. He says, merciful and long-suffering, full of goodness and truth. And then he says this, and who will in no case, in no wise, clear the guilty. Are you guilty? Is your conscience condemning you right now? Does this book, the standard that I'm presenting you, this is the standard, guys.
Right.
Is this condemning you right now? This is how you're going to be judged on the day of judgment. And God is holy. He will in no wise clear the guilty. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers, nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't give yourself a false hope. Don't be presumptuous with your eternal soul. Because it's the only thing that really matters. All else is vanity and pride. But your soul, you're not an animal. You don't die, and that's just the end. Man, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. And there's only two ways, man. You must be born again. You must be born again. Which Jesus? Is the Jesus Christ that you've embraced, that you say you worship, is He holy? It says in Isaiah that God will not share His glory with another. Do you have idols in your life? The first commandment says, thou shalt have no gods before me, or thou shalt have no other gods. That's an idol.
Right.
It could be anything. It could be education. It could be lust. It could be pornography. It could be selfishness. It could be life. You just love your life. You'd rather have your life and give your life to God. These are idols. And thou shalt have no gods before the Lord God. He is a jealous God. He has every right to be. He will not share His glory with another because He made you. He created you. Yes, He knows every hair on your head. He spake the world in existence. He sustained your breath right now. He has the right to be jealous over you. And I heard an analogy in the sermon that I wanted to mention. It was really good. This guy said, in a marriage, and the Lord is the one that made marriage, and it's to reflect the relationship that He wants to have with His creatures. But when you marry someone, you have a covenant with that person. And that's your wife, if you're a guy, right? You wouldn't want your wife to be 95% for you and 5% to another man, right?
Right.
You don't want your wife to be 95% for you and then 5% for another man. Yeah, 95 is a lot. But that's your wife. She's married to you. You would hate, if you really loved your wife, you would hate that. It would grieve you. I don't know what I would do. I'm not married. I don't know what I would do. Think about the Lord. The Scripture says He gave Himself to deliver us from this present evil world. This world put Him to the cross. He came with His own. His own received a knock. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. The world killed the Lord Jesus Christ for you.
Right.
But we know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Scripture says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. If you're doing evil, in light of what I'm saying, you hate the light. Don't pretend. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. They don't come to God, lest their deeds, their sins, should be reproved, should be exposed. Because they don't want to turn, because you like your sin more than God. And you like yourself more than God, is what that's saying. But everyone that doeth truth, he that doeth truth, you want to do what's right? You want to be saved? He that doeth truth cometh to the light. You bring your sins to the light. You admit, I can't save myself. I'm a slave to these things that you hate. I am condemned. I deserve to go to hell. Then we're talking business. The Lord will listen. And He'll hear. He's ready for that kind of thing.
Amen.
If thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Can you say that? Or do you think God is required to save you? Or do you think God needs you? Or needs your help? He doesn't. He's holy. But He loves you. And He did humble Himself and become a man. And become obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. A shameful death. But you've got to come to Him. And you cannot play the fool with the Lord. So which Jesus are you worshiping? Is He holy? Is He holy? Or can you have the world and Jesus too? That's not holy. That's profane. That's the false Jesus. That one will not save you. And you come to that day when you're going to die, and it could be tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know, man. You don't know if you have tomorrow, the next day. You don't know if the world's going to... Jesus might come back. You don't know. The only insurance is your soul insurance with the Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you, that's the Jesus that can save you. He requires your life. He's a consuming fire. He's holy. I want to talk a little bit more about this Jesus if I have time. I'm not sure how much time I have left. And then I want to talk about the cost. Say you want to be saved. I want to talk to you about that, the cost to be saved. If you're willing to meet the terms, the Lord will save you. But by His grace, you will not be willing to meet these terms. So, I want to talk about this Lord, this Jesus, and I want to talk a little bit about this false Jesus some more. The false Jesus is chilling. He's lukewarm. He's apathetic. Again, you can have the world. You can straddle the fence. You can cut short corners. You can have secret sin in your life and still go to heaven. That's the false Jesus. But the true Jesus is holy. And when you meet Him, and when He speaks, you fear. And then He says, be not afraid. But you fear because He's holy. A couple verses. It says in Luke 12, 4 through 5, Jesus said to His friends, in love, and I'm telling you right now, in integrity, this is what the Lord is saying to you. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him, whom after He hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. If you go through with God, you might have to die for your faith. Men have been doing it for thousands of years. But Jesus says to His friends in love, fear God. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. We all want to be wise in our own eyes. We all want to think that we have tomorrow. We all kind of want to take this thing to second hand or third hand. We don't want to put this first priority, our soul. We want our life. We want our dreams. We want our hopes. We want to hold on for dear life. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. No ifs, no ands, no buts. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord requires of you. You cannot play the fool with Him. It's all or it's nothing. Right. If you'll cast your burdens upon Him, He will lift you up. If you'll cast yourself to Him, He'll save you. If your mother and father forsake you in the world, He'll pick you up. Right there. But that's what He wants. Again, He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want a couple sins. He wants the whole thing. And He wants to clean you up, not you yourself. You've got to go to Him by faith. Faith being sure of what we hope for and certain if we do not see. If you're not certain, you'll never do this. But if the Lord's moving and you're believing these things, that's the grace of God. Go to the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. While, that's implying a time. The Lord is speaking to you tonight. If the Lord's quickening these words, if you're afraid of the Lord, if you see your sin, if you see yourself as you are, go to the Lord. Seek the Lord. If I never see you again, and you seek the Lord, this was all worth it. One God, seeking the Lord with all of His heart. But that's the requirements. Again, He's holy. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Yeah. Have you ever done that? Have you ever searched Him with all of your heart? All of your heart, holding nothing back, with the intent of never going back. When you get married, it's supposed to be for life. You're going to follow or be with this person for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, till death. You think the Lord wants any less? That's what the Lord wants. To follow Him. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, till death. From the heart, no matter what the world says, no matter how misunderstood you are. And He'll be with you. And He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you even in the end of the world. And He'll give you a reason to live. And He'll give you a reason to die. But that is the terms to be saved. It was the same terms for the rich young ruler. Maybe I can go into that. Lastly, I want to talk about the cost. You guys following me?
Sure.
Amen. All right, I want to talk about the cost. This is the cost to be saved. In Luke 14:26, the Lord has a multitude following Him. And a lot of times when the Lord has a multitude, He says something really intense, something really scary. A lot of preachers today don't do that. Because they're in it for the multitudes. They're not in it for the Lord and for the faithfulness and the purity of the gospel. But the Lord doesn't care about numbers. He's not about numbers. In the days of Noah, how many people got saved? Do y'all know? Eight people, right? And then how many people went to heaven out of those eight? Not all of them. Ham was cursed. Not all of them. Probably about six of them. Ham and his wife were probably cursed. Or they were cursed and they went to hell. So Israel, after they came out of the wilderness, about 600,000 people in that generation, or at least men of war, how many people were saved out of all those people? How many people made it into the promised land? Two people. 600,000 men, that's not including, I believe, wives and children, probably over, well over a million. Two guys, Joshua and Caleb. Why did they make it? Why were they saved? The same reason that you'll be saved if you're saved. And it's all grace through faith. This is what it looks like. They wholly followed after the Lord, Scripture says. They fully followed after God. They didn't play the fool. That's what faith does. Faith runs. You enter this race, and Paul says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. For every man that striveth for the masteries are to win. It striveth for a corruptible crown, but for we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, Paul says, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the way that you've got to run. But first you've got to be on the race. Okay, I'm telling you the terms to get in this race. And then you fight. At the end of your life, you can say with Paul, hopefully I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. For the Lord is going to have something for you to do. He doesn't just save you to chill. He saves you to help other people get saved. But you've got to get saved first. First you've got to be a partaker of the fruits. And then you can have them to give to other people. Amen. And you can change the world. Literally eat for eternity. And not just temporarily. The cost, Jesus said in Luke 14:26. And I'm telling you guys this right now. The Lord speaks through men. If any man will come after me, I'm sorry, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and sister and brother, yea, and his own life also, He cannot be my disciple. And he says, whoso taketh not his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple. And later on in that chapter, he says, whosoever he be of you forsaketh not all that he hath cannot follow after me. In your heart, you have to lay it all down. That doesn't mean you take the clothes off your back. Anything the Lord says lay down, you have got to lay it down. And Scripture says that there be first a willing mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If you're willing, if you really are willing to lay down your life, the Lord will save you tonight. And you will not be the same God. You will be a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new from your heart. But that's the cost. You have to hate your life. You have got to die to yourself. That's the true gospel. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall be resurrected with Him. That's what's required. And in His integrity, He says that because if you go through with God, all hell will come against you. Your flesh will come against you. The world will come against you. But God will be for you. And by faith, you know greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. But the world will be against you. And if God's not with you, you won't make it.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that is the cost, guys. It's the cost for the disciples in that day, and it's the cost for the disciples now. And there's guys that are preaching. There's guys that are pastoring with THDs and PhDs. They've never even met the terms to be a disciple. So I want you guys to be a disciple first, and then maybe He'll call you to preach. But you've got to be a disciple. You've got to sit at His feet. And if you want to learn, biblical knowledge is experiential. Jesus says, follow me. And He'll teach you. And He'll lead you.
Right.
In all truth and in mercy. And they go hand in hand. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There's no shortcuts. Says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Taken away. Your sins taken away. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Fear of God's a good thing. If it drives you to seek Him, you must have the fear of the Lord, and then He'll save you, and the love will come, and the joy will come, and all these things. But fear God, guys, and turn to Him with all your heart. That's the cause. It says in Joshua chapter 24. And mind you, this was a righteous generation. Their parents, this was the children of those parents that had fallen in the wilderness, except for two of them. Their children. Joshua looks at these people, and he says, ye cannot serve God, for He is an holy God. That's amazing. He said that. Joshua 24. Ye cannot serve God, for He is an holy God. Why is he saying that? Because he knows they must die to live. They must be shut up under the holiness of God with no more excuses. And lay their life down to Him and throw themselves upon His mercy. Because He desires mercy and not sacrifice. And we always want to sacrifice. And we always want to pray enough. And we always want to go to church and do these things. That's why he says, ye cannot serve God. For He is an holy God. And I'm saying the same thing to you guys. But if you want to please God, if you want to be saved, even in spite of that, you go through with God. Even in spite of that, you fight. Get up and run and seek the Lord until you found Him. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. That's what you do. You start obeying. If He gives you light tonight, if He's saying lay something down, lay it down. And He'll give you more light, and He'll give you more light. He's going to take you to your cross. He could save you tonight. It could take a week. But you set yourself that you're going to seek Him until you find Him. And you must do it with all of your heart. And He promises that you will. And you plead, Lord, You said, if I seek You, I'll find You. If I search for You with all of my heart. And you plead that. And He meant it, and He'll do it. He says, come unto Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. What are the terms? Got to be weary and heavy laden. Are you tired of your sins? Are you tired of the world? Do you see the vanity of this life? Then go to Him. But if you don't, say, Lord, I'm not getting this. Help me. Be honest. He desires truth in the inward parts. Remember, He's a straight shooter. Tell Him the truth. You need help. You don't want to go to hell. Because if you don't get saved, man, I guarantee you're going to split hell wide open. We're standing right now on the brink of eternity. And God holds your breath in the palm of His hands. And I believe that message. I would not be standing here and saying this. Eternity is at stake right now. This is the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters, man, if your soul's not right with God. You can have all the girls and the riches and the fame and the pleasures of sin and go to hell, and what was it all worth? Nothing. Nothing. The cost. I want to show y'all one chapter in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. I don't know if y'all have ever read that. Y'all can get out your Bibles. I love this chapter. going to just expound a little bit on it, speak a little about a couple of verses. I want to tell y'all kind of what's happening, and then we're going to start in verse 8. So, there was a woman from Bethlehem, Judah, the place where Jesus was born. And this lady was experiencing a famine in the land, her and her family. And so she leaves to go to Moab, which is kind of like a type of the world, or a type of the false church. She goes to Moab because of the famine, right? She goes with her husband. And she goes with her two sons-in-laws. And her sons-in-laws, okay, they both died. And her husband died. And this lady believed it was the judgment of God. And so now the famine is gone in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah is kind of like a type of heaven. And Naomi, this lady is like a type of Jesus Christ. And her daughters-in-law that are born, they were born from Moab, serving false gods, are going to follow Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah. And that's like you. I want you to see yourself in these two people. There's a false Christian that doesn't make it. That's Orpah. And there's a true Christian that's going to make it. That's Ruth. Y'all with me? Verse 8. Y'all ready? And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. That's shocking. Just like in Joshua 24, ye cannot serve God, for He is an holy God. She says to her daughters-in-law, "Go! Go home! The Lord wants you to go home if you're not ready to meet His terms. If you're not ready to go all the way with God, go home." I really believe this is going to be shocking. I believe that the Lord is more upset with a false Christian that's living in secret sin, that's playing the fool with God, than He is with a blatant Satanist. That's not making any pretense. This guy, you know he's on the devil's side, but this guy, he's faking the Lord. I believe He's more angry with this kind of hypocritical behavior. The Lord hates hypocrisy. He was the most loving man to ever live, but if you'll read Matthew 23, when He was talking to the Pharisees, 8 times He says, "Woe! Woe!" That means misery. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." So don't be a hypocrite. It's like that means like an actor. Don't do that with the Lord, man. Either go all the way with God or don't go. That really is what He wants. Because it's blasphemy. The third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And y'all have heard that, like using Jesus in a vain way. Or saying, "Oh my God," or something like that. That is using His name in vain. But it's far worse to be professing to love Him and living for the world that He died for. Living for the world that hates Him. That's far worse. Blasphemy. That was the first time. In verse 10, "And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." They were very resolved to go. Maybe you really want to follow the Lord. You really want to go to heaven. I know I do. That's not a bad thing. They were. And remember, they had lifted up their voice and wept. And then Naomi, a second time, this is what she says. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry or would ye wait for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Back in that day, it was a real reproach for a woman not to have a husband. It was a very reproachful thing. And she didn't have any more sons to give to her. And she didn't have any, she had nothing, she had another culture that they'd never been in, that they weren't born in, another God, everything, there's no guarantees. She didn't have any money, nothing. And they're following her. She's saying, "Go back, go back." And look, you're not guaranteed anything except for two things if you follow the Lord. Number one, you get peace. And you get salvation, right? That's good. But you know what else you get? A cross to bear. And persecution. And a world that's going to misunderstand you because they're living for sin. And a world that wants to bring you down. I'll give you an analogy. At a party, I remember in high school, we'd go to parties. And people would be drinking. And there'd be this guy that wouldn't drink, right? And everyone's making fun of that guy. "Come on, man, have a beer, you know, have a drink." And it bothered them that this guy wasn't drinking. And I believe in the unregenerate nature of man. We want to bring other people to our level. If we're not willing to go through with God, if we're not willing to live righteous, we want everyone to be with us. Because that condemned those people, even though they wouldn't say that, that condemned them. This guy's doing what's right. They know it in the back of their heart. They're laughing at him, but they know it. And that's the same thing with the devil. He knows where he's going. He's going to the lake of fire. He's going to hell forever. And he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take you with him. I guarantee you, he comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. If he can take you, he will take you. And I'm telling you, your only defense against the devil is a good offense. Following the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Submitting yourself to God. Resisting the devil and he will flee. But you have to submit yourself to God. Remember Samson. Y'all know him. Samson had the long hair. Really mighty, strong man, right? Well, that hair is a type of Christ. That was his covering. As long as he had his hair, he was untouchable. He took out like 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey, right? But once Delilah, or that lady, got to his hair, he was weaker than other men. They gouged out his eyes. And if you come to the Lord, and then you start falling in sin, or say you don't come to the Lord and you stay in sin, you're going to be weaker than other men. You're going to be unable to stand before your enemies. You're going to be unable to stand before the devil. He will take you right down to hell. And you'll be laughing all the time, and you'll wake up like that rich man. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And you will regret the day you were born for the rest of eternity. That's the truth. So 2 times she says, go home, go back. Maybe you still want to follow the Lord. Amen. Because he's looking for soldiers. He's not looking for babies. He's not looking for halfway Christians. He's looking for people that are ready to die for him tomorrow. Looking for people that know they can't serve him. But if he would receive them, they would serve him. In verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave to her. So Orpah, she really seemed to love Naomi. She kissed her. Remember Judas. It makes me remember Judas. He kissed the Lord. And he betrayed him with a kiss. And then he felt guilty for betraying him. And he tried to repent himself. But he couldn't. And he went and hung himself. Kissing. That's what the Pharisees did. They kissed the Lord with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. He doesn't want your lips. He doesn't want just your praise on Sunday and then living like a devil, doing what He hates. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to get right with Him, to get real with Him from the heart level. That's what He wants. And so at this point, Orpah goes back. A lot of Christians go pretty far, but they don't go all the way with the Lord. So I'm just trying to tell you ahead of time what that's going to look like, what the cost is. Because I believe the Lord's a straight shooter, and in His integrity, He wants you to know that. In verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth is still gone. Now Orpah's gone. Maybe you're like Orpah. Maybe you really want to follow the Lord. You must be able to say this. If you cannot say this, don't follow the Lord. You will not make it. If you can say this, now we're talking business. Let's do this. This is what Ruth said. And Ruth said, entreat, or that means beg, me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Can you say that to the Lord? Are you willing to meet those terms? Because that is the terms of the Lord. You cannot save yourself. But you can't go and ask the Lord to save you with a shotgun of rebellion and say, save me, Lord, and you've got this sin that God's saying you've got to get rid of and you're not willing to do it. Is He going to save you? That's pride. God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Can you say that? I'd ask myself that before God right now with a good conscience before God and men. Are you willing to meet those terms? If you are, we need to talk. We need to talk about your soul. Because the Lord's looking for such a man that can say that. And that's a miracle if anybody says that. That takes faith, which is a gift of God. Do I have time left or is that about?
Got 1 minute.
All right. I'm going to start this verse. I quoted it earlier. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, and He says unto you now, He speaks through men. Either I'm of God or I'm not. But if I'm of God, then God is speaking to you through me. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he that wishes to save his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, all the riches, the girls, the fame, the pleasure of sin for a season, and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe the answer is nothing.
Amen.
Nothing else matters in this world, guys. So seek the Lord. If I don't ever talk to you again, man, I hope that you sought the Lord, and I hope I see you in heaven. Because we're going there real soon, man. We're going to stand before the Lord. And all I want is for Him to say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." What about you? What do you want? Think about that. It's important. Appreciate your time, guys.
Amen.